Welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show. My name is Maggie Carroza. I am one of Drew's producers. I am running the board today while John Harper is guest hosting, while Drew is out on family vacation, enjoying hopefully the nice weather where he's at. John is doing a great job hosting this week. So I just want to say thank you, John, for that. Our studio line is 888-914-9149. If you have a prayer intention that you would like to call in with, we are here for you every day at 3 p.m. Central to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Today's the Feast of the Visitation. I went to Mass this morning with my husband, and our priest gave a great homily where he said, this was the day a young, humble, pregnant teenager rushed to see her elderly cousin who'd been barren her whole life to witness and share in the miracle of her cousin's pregnancy with her own eyes, just to see that miracle and be there with her. She didn't think of herself. She thought more of others than of herself. He said there was no envy, no competition, no comparison, just joy in sharing someone's gift. He said, that's really the heart of evangelization. He said, may we all be evangelists like our mother. May we share in the joy of the Lord. And, in that spirit, as Drew says often on this program, an easy way to share in the joy of the Lord is to share this chaplet with someone who might be going through something in their life. You could say, hey, here's a link. Listen to this. Tune in at 3 o'clock every day. I started listening to it and it kind of changed my life. That's what I say to people, because this chaplet did change my life. It continues to change my life. Or the family rosary at 7 p.m. Or, even outside of relevant radio programming, take someone that you love to adoration with you or to morning mass. Share in the joy of the Lord. Be a witness to what he's done in your life. As far as prayers today, I was just talking with Dr. Eugene Gahn. I want to lift him up and his family. He's such a great guest. He was just on with John talking about AI. I'd like to lift up my brother Lee. I'm praying for fullness of life for him and for a new career that suits him well. I'd also like to give a shout out to Dr. Faulkner and his staff up in Wisconsin. My mom told me this morning that they are avid listeners and people of great faith. And that's really heartwarming to hear, because I know the industry, the medical industry, can be a hostile place sometimes to those of faith. So be proud. And I pray for many blessings for them. Joe's Auntie Mary says that Sandy listens every day, so I wanted to send a shout out to her as well, and prayers for blessings. And a prayer of thanksgiving to all of you praying with us, because yesterday I mentioned in our prayers prior to the chaplet that Wisconsin and the upper Midwest really needed rain. And it's raining right now. So I just needed to say thank you for that. It's been really dry here, and we prayed yesterday that the farmers would get a little relief. My mom texted just before the show today. She said, I'm thanking Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We're getting some rain this afternoon. So praying with me today is John Harper. John, is there anything that you would like to lift up today?
Well, first of all, a prayer of thanksgiving, because my Twitter lit up yesterday from so many of you who were praying for my cousin Thomas, who is home today for the first time in 8 months and 2 days, just being in some Catholic rehab centers, just to literally getting back in his feet and just addressing some knee problems with arthritis in both knees. And, very vital, very active guy. And so it was really difficult for the last 8 months. And I'd also like to pray, and I just learned about this today, and I saw her just a couple of days ago before she flew home, my cousin Mary Jane, who, as we speak, is visiting her doctor, because non-smoker, always healthy, They found five spots on her lung. Oh. So we're hopeful that those are malignant or maybe just a shadow from an x-ray or something else. But if you could lift her up today in the chaplain and in your prayers, we would appreciate that.
Absolutely. That sounds good. Let's lift her up right now. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we go to Glendale, Arizona for our first decade. Robin, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. How can we pray for you?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I've been suffering for a year and a half, going on 2 years, with just excruciating pain in my spine and my whole body. I'm on fire with pain from head to toe. I have neuropathy and spinal problems, and I just would love to be healed and be restored and renewed.
Amen.
It's affecting my life so badly, and even my mind. So
I'm sure.
Thank you for praying for me.
Oh, you're so welcome, Robin. I'm glad that you got through today. Lord, I want to lift up anyone that deals with chronic pain as Robin does. I ask that you be merciful, Lord. You touch her with healing, and that you would give her relief from this pain, that she would be able to proclaim your mercy forevermore and be so thankful that you've helped her with this problem. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next we are going to Chris in Oaklawn, Illinois. Chris, hi, how can we pray for you today?
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just picking up my daughter from school, but I would like prayer intention for my grandma, Herlatina Marquez. She passed away on this Sunday, the 28th, 11:45 p.m., and I heard Father Rocky pray yesterday for her, and I appreciate it. And for the repose of her soul, that God may have mercy on her soul, and all people with grandmas and grandpas who have Alzheimer's and are sick. I pray for everyone. I appreciate that prayer. Thank you.
You got it, Chris. We're lifting your whole family up now for peace and help with the grief that might come with her passing. We want to pray for your grandmother's soul and for the soul of anyone who might have passed over this last week. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, next we go to Donna May in Colorado. Donna May, how can we pray for you today?
Thank you, Maggie and John, for taking my call. I am asking a miracle from the Lord. Yesterday, my great-nephew Henry, who's 13, was involved in an ATV accident and was life-flighted to the hospital with multiple broken bones and internal injuries to organs that can be life-threatening. And I also add my special intentions, of which are many. Thank you so much.
Oh, you got it, Donna. I'm so glad that you called today. You said Henry is 13 years old?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Our prayer family here, everyone I know who's listening is gathering themselves in prayer right now, Donna. And we're praying for Henry, for his recovery, for a miraculous recovery, that it might even defy the doctors and the nurses that are taking care of him, that he would be able to live and tell the tale. I want to invoke a special intercession from our friend Saint Philomena, one of the saints of impossible causes, that she might hear this and take this petition straight to our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Michelle is up next in San Diego. Michelle, welcome to the chaplet. How can we pray for you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask God to please convert my father to Catholicism and also to heal my daughter, who has been suffering with not being able to swallow properly for the past year. I just want to thank God for helping her spiritually. I know he's working in her spiritually, but physically just would really request a miracle for her.
Oh, you bet. Lord, we thank you for these prayers of conversion and healing, and we thank you for revealing yourself to Michelle's daughter and growing her in faith. We ask through the special intercession of Saint Monica and Saint Augustine, two saints that have great stories around conversion. We ask for their prayers and intercession for Michelle's dad, that he might come to the truth before leaving this earth. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Robin is calling in from Berryville, Arkansas. Robin, how can we pray for you today?
Hi, Maggie. So I have a couple of really quick petitions.
Sure.
My best friend's nephew, he's 4 years old, and he's actually in for a heart transplant right now.
Oh my!
So he was born premature with a heart defect. Mm. So he is in desperate need of prayer. And then my father is going in for heart surgery on Monday. He's got arteries that are blocked, but. I'm not ready to lose him. And my mom is not ready to join the Widows Club.
I can understand that. I can understand that. Robin, this is a beautiful petition, and how many people out there right now are also suffering from some sort of cardiac issue. With heart disease or clogged arteries or need stents or need transplants. There's so many that have heart issues. And Lord, we give you Robin. We pray directly for Robin and any of her personal needs. She didn't lift up her own intentions for herself, but I want to pray for her. And I want to lift up her father for a successful surgery, that he would be able to look back on this and go, wow, life is so much better now. I have this this heart that's working well. And the little four-year-old, Lord, I know I speak for many of the people listening right now. Please look kindly upon this little one. Have mercy. May his heart beat freely. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Saint Philomena,
pray for us.
Saint Augustine,
pray for us.
Saint Monica,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
Pray for us.
St. Pope John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
St. Rocco.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states. Let your light shine in. Let your light.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew, who is spending some time with family this week. He'll be back on Monday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You have probably heard a story that is developing just north of Kansas City. The Benedictine Sisters of Mary, Queen of Apostles, believe that their foundress, this is a religious community that was founded in 1995, their foundress, Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, is the first African-American woman to be found incorrupt or not decomposed after death. They made this discovery after her body was recently exhumed. What they want to do is move it to an altar inside the church. She died just 2 years and 2 days ago, May 29th, 2019. Yes, the Catholic Church has more than 100 incorruptible saints, but the church has not yet determined whether Sister Wilhelmina's case is miraculous or have they ruled it incorruptible, but it is getting the attention of the secular press, as you hear in this story from Jill Nato of Fox.
Just north of Kansas City, the town of Gower, Missouri, is getting a lot of attention. It's home to the Benedictine Monastery, where the body of Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster was recently exhumed. She was buried 4 years ago, but her body hasn't decayed at all. Visitors call it a miracle.
It's great to be reminded that it can happen in our lifetime.
She's a saint already. I already have her canonized.
I saw her laying there, and I was very in awe.
People have been driving hundreds of miles to get a glimpse of the body. The local sheriff warns as many as 10,000 to 15,000 people per day may be crowding the town this weekend. The sisters say they'll encase Sister Wilhelmina in glass for long-term viewing. Jill Nato, Fox News.
So you can see what kind of attention it's getting. Let's put this in perspective for you. And again, the church has not yet determined whether Sister Wilhelmina's case is miraculous or have they ruled it incorruptible. J.D. Flynn is joining us, the co-founder and editor-in-chief of The Pillar, which you can find online at pillarcatholic.com. J.D., good to have you back on Relevant Radio. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm very glad to be here to talk about this.
There is a wonderful piece that is up at thepillar.com called I Want to See for Myself, Thousands Look for the Miracle at Gower Abbey. Did you write this? Who from your staff went to actually physically see what's going on?
I was in Gower for a couple of days last week and had the opportunity to talk with a lot of people and see what was going on. And really, it was extraordinary. It was really very, very encouraging, and really, I went not knowing what to expect. And you know, I'm a journalist, so no matter where I go, I'm cynical when I go there. But I really came away seeing whatever the church decides about Sister Wilhelmina's body, really seeing God's grace at work in the experience of pilgrims who are there.
Paint a picture for us. What's Gower Abbey like? Because I know when you fly into Kansas City, you feel like you're landing in the middle of a cornfield because the airport is about, 15 miles north of town. And, aside from the immediate Kansas City, Missouri and Kansas metropolitan area, it is really just farm field. And there's this abbey. Just to give us a word picture of what you saw.
Yeah, Gower Abbey is indeed a rural monastic Benedictine life. And so the nuns themselves live, in the farm country of Missouri, soybean and cornfields all around them. And they themselves are farmers. They have cattle and they have crops, and they live a very traditional Benedictine monastic life of farm work and prayer, centered around the Eucharist, centered around the Liturgy of the Hours, and then centered around their hours of work each day. And it's a beautiful place. It's a very idyllic setting. They have a large acreage on which the sisters work, and And it and they have this very beautiful Romanesque church which they built in the center of it. Right now, Gower Abbey is a sort of hotbed of traffic. It's a you wouldn't expect to see thousands of people in a place like that, but for weeks now, Catholics have been coming. Tens and thousands of them have been coming to the Abbey to see the body of Sister Wilhelmina, which was exhumed in late April, which was found to be completely intact. Her habit not deteriorated. Her body in extraordinarily good shape for having been in the Missouri clay for 4 years, and mud having seeped into her coffin and water having seeped into her coffin, her body being in extraordinary condition. So thousands and thousands of pilgrims have come. They've lined up. They've spent hours and hours in line to kneel down and to pray and, you know, just, I think, as we said, to see it for themselves. The sisters have now entombed Sister Wilhelmina in a glass coffin so that you can see her, but she can be a bit protected from the elements. But they say they'll continue to trust the judgment of the church about this, and they'll continue to consider, you know, right now she doesn't have a cause for canonization. The church isn't yet considering whether or not she's a saint. In fact, there's a 5-year waiting period after you die before you can have a cause for canonization, so it's too early. But they'll consider next year, they say, whether or not to introduce a cause. And for now, they say this is a gift that they've received for the whole church.
J.D. Flynn, our guest here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio, and he made the pilgrimage to Gower Abbey north of Kansas City, the Benedictine Sisters of Mary, Queen of Apostles, and saw the body of Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, who founded that religious community. It was recently exhumed so it could be moved, but it was discovered to be almost incorruptible. Again, the church is investigating. The church has not ruled on this. They've not called it miraculous in any way, shape, or form, but tens of thousands of pilgrims are going there. You, of course, can join the conversation. Your questions, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. J.D. has written about it with magnificent pictures at The Pillar, at pillarcatholic.com, pillarcatholic.com. One of the things that just caught my attention is that handmade sign. When you pull in the middle of this cornfield and it says, "Pilgrims, please do your part, return the love of Jesus's Sacred Heart." And it's hand-drawn by the sisters.
That's right. There are a few more, actually, too. There's one that encourages the rosary. There's one that encourages going to confession. So they've got these signs kind of lined up as you go along the road to the monastery. And it's really, it's very encouraging. And across from the Abbey is sort of overflow parking. So there's a farmer who donated his field. He said he wouldn't put his soybeans into the ground so that the sisters could have overflow parking. And really, one of the things that's extraordinary is that lots and lots of families and lay people from the area who know the sisters, who go to Mass there, have all begun kind of participating in helping to welcome these tens of thousands of people. And local law enforcement agencies have come and sort of set up a mobile command post. And so there are EMTs there just if in case anyone has health problems, and there are police there to kind of help with crowds. And the roads department is watering down the dirt roads in the area so that you won't kick up quite so much dust. And so it's become, you know, the local fire chief said to me, it's really become very, very quickly a bustling pilgrimage site, and that's right. And it's become something I think that the whole community is now part of.
And so many people who are not Catholic are showing up as well, and that's beautiful to see as well.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I talked when I was in Gower last week. I talked with many people who were not Catholic, some of them believers, you know, Protestant Christians and Orthodox Christians, and some of them, you know, not people of faith or not baptized, but who came because they'd heard about it and they wanted to see, or they came with friends, and many of them saying, you know, absolutely, something extraordinary is happening here. And again, you just see, you know, there's the extraordinary gift that the church is now sort of investigating of Sister Wilhelmina's body being intact and not having decomposed. And then there's just the pervasive spirit of peace and Christian discipleship at the Abbey, which comes from, I think, the liturgical life of the sisters and the monastic life. And then, you know, so many of the people who are there, you really do have a sense of the spirituality of pilgrimage. So it's not that they're there to sort of gawk, but people are, you know, prayerful when they're there and engaging with each other in a sort of Christian spirit of pilgrimage, and many people wanting to press their rosary, you know, to Sister Wilhelmina or to her glass casket now, and many, many people attending the daily Mass at the Sisters' Chapel or listening to the Sisters chant the Divine Office Liturgy of the Hours. And so it's a place, I think, where people are experiencing, you know, conversion. Over the weekend, there were priests who set up just chairs in the field alongside the Sisters' house, alongside the Abbey there, that they could hear confessions. And so there were hundreds of people who were lining up to go to confession over the course of the weekend. And so you're just seeing, you know, while the church is investigating this, I think there are a lot of Catholics who are saying, we see God's grace here in an extraordinary way, and we're looking for that, and we see something real here.
And another point to bring up in the conversation, JD, is the fact that Sister Wilhelmina was buried in a very simple wooden coffin without any embalming. That's another very key aspect to this story now after exhuming her body 4 years later.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm not an expert in sort of mortuary sciences, so I don't know. We talked with an expert who said, there are certainly conditions under which a body might decompose very, very, very slowly if it's in an anaerobic environment without oxygen, or if it's, you know, very, very tightly sealed, a kind of vacuum sealed situation or something like that. But Sister Wilhelmina wasn't in that. She was buried in a pine box. She was not embalmed. And then when the sisters exhumed her, the lid of her casket had cracked under the weight of the earth. And so there was mud and water dripping into her casket. She was in an optimal environment for decomposition.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, you know, the mortuary scientists have to have a better sense of that. And there are a lot of questions about sort of the variability of natural rates of decomposition and things like that to ask. But there is at least the sign that, boy, this is not what you'd expect under these circumstances. The sisters were told by an undertaker that they should expect that Sister Wilhelmina would have decomposed already to the point of being a skeleton, that her flesh would have all decomposed. And that's, you know, very clearly not the case.
What did it do for your faith, JD, when you saw the witness of those coming to see Sister Wilhelmina?
Yeah, you know, I work as a journalist who covers the church, which means I'm often cover unpleasant things.
Right.
It was beautiful to see how many, for me, it was so beautiful and encouraging to see how many Catholics were there because they wanted to see the power of God. And they wanted to be reminded of the power of God. It was beautiful to hear so many Catholics who said, this is a reminder for us of the universal call to holiness, that all of us are called to be saints. This is a reminder for us that there are miracles every day in our life. This is a miracle for us that God speaks into our time, and that in all the troubles and difficulties that the church is having, which indeed she is, in every generation, and now we feel that acutely, but in all the troubles that the church is having, that God gives us these reminders, you know, and perhaps this is one of them as the church will judge, that God gives us these reminders in sign and symbol that the gospel is real and the gospel is true and the sacramental life. You know, we don't often get to see with our eyes the veracity of the sort of the Eucharist, our doctrine on the Eucharist, and yet here we have God perhaps doing something extraordinary in this woman's body that reminds us of his sovereignty and his love. And that's very encouraging, and it's just very encouraging to see how many Catholics are really hungering for a sign of God's love and a sign of truth and a sign of the power of God. And that's where the faith is. That's the beauty of being in the Christian communion, is this sense. And we talk now a lot in the church about this sort of sensus fidelium, the sense of the faithful about the gospel. Well, part of the sensus fidelium is this sort of the universal expression of our piety with regard to the communion of the saints, and the universal expression of our desire to see in the saints and in holy people, models of Christian holiness and discipleship, and then to see sort of affirmation of that and these extraordinary signs that God sometimes gives us. And so it was beautiful, I think, to just be reminded of that and encouraged in that way.
If you're just joining us here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, our conversation with J.D. Flynn, the co-founder and editor-in-chief of The Pillar, online at pillarcatholic.com. He made a pilgrimage out to a small town north of Kansas City, and you've probably seen this even in secular media now covering this, where the Benedictine Sisters of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, this religious community that was founded not terribly long ago in 1995 by Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster. She's the first African-American woman to perhaps, churches investigating this, be found corrupt, not decomposed after death. The word got out after they exhumed her body, which is going to be moved to a place under the altar. She died on May 29th, 2019, and her body is almost intact, and now tens of thousands of Catholics are coming. And if you go to pillarcatholic.com, there's this marvelous picture and word story from JD's pilgrimage out to Kansas. One of the things that struck us, Maggie, who produces the show, and I were just talking about it, when we see your photos, we always pray that more young women respond to God's invitation to the religious life. And you see so many young faces, so many young vocations in this order. And that's breathtaking in itself, JD.
Yeah, I don't know how many. I don't know the numbers on the sisters. I wish I did, but I don't have that in front of me. But there are a lot of nuns there. And And I talked to a postulant, you know, a girl who had just recently entered the convent, who was only 19 years old, who had entered right after she graduated from high school. And there were other sisters as well who were quite young. And, you know, Gower Abbey is a place where religious life is observed very traditionally, where the Liturgy of the Hours is central. The sisters chant absolutely beautifully. And I think I embedded some video in the story that we published today. But the sisters, you know, observe this ora et labora, that is the ancient custom of Benedictine life in a way which is very simple and at the same time which is oriented towards giving fitting and beautiful worship to God. And I think that's really attractive. And they also have, I think the sisters would say, a very beautiful community life that they share, a real sort of sororal bond with each other as sisters and in their work together and their prayer together. And so that's attractive. You know, I think people want, of course, that kind of connection and to know that the meaning of their life is so profoundly exercised in the way in which they've chosen to live or God's called them to live. So yeah, they have a lot of, they've got a lot of vocations and it's a beautiful thing.
What was your first reaction when you saw Sister Wilhelmina's body?
I hadn't known what to expect, you know, and I was just, my first reaction, very honestly, Sister Wilhelmina was wearing cheap black Hanes socks, the same kind that I have a drawer full of in my dresser. And I was just struck by like the reminder of just how real this was. This is a real person who lives in the same world as us, who bought her socks at Target or Walmart or Amazon the same way that any of us did, and has the same kind of, you know, crew socks as any of us. And it was just a reminder like, wow, God works through ordinary people in extraordinary ways. And we all, you know, most of us think, you know, that holiness is for somebody else. And I was just struck like, here's this woman who felt God calling her to live in an extraordinary life, but who also lived in the same world as us. And God's calling us to holiness as well.
There it is. In Hanes socks. That's great.
In Hanes socks. That's right. Yeah.
J.D. Flynn, co-founder, editor-in-chief of The Pillar. We're talking about Sister Wilhelmina, who founded the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles. Actually, a community that started in Pennsylvania. She moved out to Missouri in 2006. And this is someone who, and she's a fascinating vocation to follow, because she wanted to be a nun when she was 13. She knew she had to wait till her high school graduation. You talk about the postulate that just graduated from high school that you were talking to, who's age 19, and here's Sister Wilhelmina taking her vows at age 19 as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's really well said. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a little book out about her life, which I've begun reading. I didn't know much about Sister Wilhelmina, but she really does have an extraordinary life. And at 70, she felt called. She was a member of a religious order, and she felt called to begin this new Benedictine life, and she responded to that call. And so, you know, I think obviously there will be more scrutiny of Sister Wilhelmina's life and of her writings and of her apostolate and these kinds of things. But from first glance, it seems like here's a person who has an extraordinary witness to give and an extraordinary story to tell in the life of the church. And, you know, I was especially struck, I think it's important to mention that there are black Catholics. Sister Wilhelmina is black, and black Catholics make up, you know, less than 4% of the church in the United States.
Yeah.
And it seems to me worth noting that in this time in our country, when we've had, you know, really difficult conversations and really difficult sort of moments pertaining to sort of race in America, that perhaps God has exhibited his glory through this black woman who felt a call in the life of the church to this kind of holiness. And there's something, I think, encouraging for black Catholics, especially about that as well.
Now, again, the church has not determined whether Sister Wilhelmina's case is miraculous. They have not ruled it incorruptible. And also the cause for canonization has not yet been sanctioned. She's only been dead for 4 years, and there is a 5-year waiting period on that. And we're speaking with J.D. Flynn, who has just written a terrific piece that we're going to tweet out, and we're going to put it on all of our social media platforms here on the Drew Mariani Show, because you will see these magnificent pictures. And through his words and pictures, will transport you to Gower Abbey. And I'm sure you can actually feel the faith coming through the words and the pictures from pillarcatholic.com. And of course, we're here to take your questions, because this is a fascinating story. And as we were mentioning, as we played that piece from Fox News, it is getting the attention of secular media as well. So a lot of folks will see this, and a lot of eyes will open. And this is a real opportunity also for those of us to evangelize, is to use what you're learning here in our conversation with J.D. Flynn and our other broadcasts here on Relevant. Sullivan Radio to talk about your faith, to talk about Sister Wilhelmina, to talk about vocations to those who will be exposed to what is happening at Gower Abbey just north of Kansas City. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you have questions about this, some reactions to Sister Wilhelmina and what's going on north of Kansas City, we'll get to your calls. Continue our conversation with J.D. Flynn here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Connecting you to the truths of your Catholic faith. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Today we'd like to thank Lawrence, who is listening in Illinois, for donating his 1994 Yamaha Waverunner. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Pray more, worry less. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon, talking about this fascinating story that perhaps you've seen already about Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, the founder of the religious community, the Benedictine Sisters of Mary, Queen of Apostles. She died May 29th, 2019. They just exhumed her body to physically move it to a new location under the altar. And apparently, it's incorruptible. The Catholic Church has not confirmed this, but the investigation goes on right now. Nonetheless, with the publicity it has gotten in secular media, tens of thousands of Catholics are going to Gower Abbey, which is literally in the middle of a farm field north of Kansas City. They're going all the time. Among those, J.D. Flynn, the co-founder and editor-in-chief of The Pillar, who's got a magnificent picture and word story at pillarcatholic.com, and we'll put that all on our social media platforms. When you talk to the pilgrims, what did they say about why they came, J.D.?
Oh, you know, it was amazing because each person had a reason why they came, and some of them were very personal. Some of them said that, you know, they had just lost a parent or they were in a crisis of faith. Some of them said that they came quite a distance because they, you know, had not believed or had always been suspicious of the notion of the incorruptibility of saints. Some of them were just the opposite. Some of them had been to Europe to see dozens of incorruptible saints, and we're so excited to be able to see one there in the American Midwest. Every person that I spoke with, of course, has their own story of faith and their own experience of faith, and that played in so much to why they were there. I talked with people who said they were there to ask the Lord for healing from some physical ailment or some cross that they were carrying. And then I talked with a couple of teenagers who said they were there because their parents made them go. You know, as many reasons as there are people, and I think, you know, I asked myself on the way as I was driving to Gower Abbey why I was going. Of course, I was going for work in one sense, but I asked myself, you know, really, what is it that you want to see here? And I think for me, I was just so edified to see this experience of the church as a communion of the baptized, both on earth and the church, you know, both militant, triumphant, and suffering sort of in unity. And when we venerate holy people, canonized saints or not, when we venerate sort of people who are known as holy or remembered as holy, there's this connection of the communion of the church as the communion of the baptized in this life and the next. And it was edifying to be a part of that. And there are people who talked about that, their great devotion to saints, or people who said they hoped Sister Wilhelmina would be canonized, people who had known her, people who had never heard of her. So again, people came from their own experience of faith or no faith or curiosity or doubt or skepticism or firm belief, all to see this thing and then all there together kind of experiencing it.
One of the other things that struck me, J.D., about the pictures in your piece is looking at the faces of the pilgrims, many of whom are not Catholic, but looking at the faces of the pilgrim, because those are faces of literal faith. If you've been wavering in your faith, all you have to do is look at those faces in your article. And that'll bring you right back to that connection to God.
Well, that's striking. That's really wonderful to hear. I certainly think that's true. You know, there are so many kind of witnesses of people's faith that you can see. That you see in a place like that, and people who are living the faith heroically, sometimes under very difficult circumstances. And so it's beautiful. It is indeed beautiful to see that for sure.
Will you go back?
Well, my own family is making a trip. I live in Colorado, and my own family is making a trip to a relative's house in Illinois this summer. And so Gower Abbey is just about halfway. And so I'm excited that my kids and my wife will join me to visit Gower Abbey a little bit later this summer. And who knows, maybe if Sister has a cause, maybe we'll be able to go back when her cause is open and for other things as well in the future. But
Right, exactly. And all of this is being investigated by the church right now. So there is no miracle. Nothing has been ruled incorruptible so far. But we're watching this unfold before us. And of course, in this day and age of instant communication, this is perhaps one of the first times where we actually watch this happen in almost real time. When you were there with thousands of other Catholics and non-Catholics and those who just came to see what was going on with Sister Wilhelmina, who were some of the people in line? What were some of their professions? What did they do for a living?
Yeah.
Why did they come?
You know, Harrison Bucker, the kicker from the Kansas City Chiefs, was there. And the president of Benedictine College, Steve Minnis, was there with his wife. There were religious sisters there, priests there, parish pastors who brought their parishes. There were teachers and farmers and stay-at-home moms and EMTs, and one guy told me he was a lifestyle coach, and I don't even know what that is. You know, people from there were even a couple of radio personalities, you know, and that's always surprising. But there were people, from all kinds of walks of life there, who you know, some of whom, like I say, priests and religious who work in and around the church. I had heard that the bishop of St. Kansas City, St. Joseph was there. I've heard that a few other bishops have gone, you know, trying to do so, not making, kind of not making a spectacle of themselves, but going, you know, at early in the morning or later so it wouldn't be a distraction. But I've heard a few other bishops have gone to see this and to pray. And I think that will continue. You know, I think certainly the pilgrimages will slow down now that Sister Wilhelmina has been entombed in a glass case, and probably, you know, it'll become a little bit steadier. But I would expect that there will be a lot of pilgrims there throughout the summer and perhaps beyond that as well.
And as you describe all of those pilgrims who came to see Sister Wilhelmina, it really underscores what we talk about Catholics being the Catholic Church being the universal church.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, I talked with people from Cameroon, from the Congo. I talked with people from Spain. I talked with people from Eastern Europe, even the foreign nation of Canada, you know, people from everywhere who had come. And so that was sort of extraordinary to see people. I saw license plates from lots of states all over the country, and not sort of in rental cars, but in big, you know, 15-passenger homeschooling vans and stuff like that. So families have made pilgrimages, and I think there will be more of that this summer, families who make pilgrimages throughout the summer and who are there and that kind of thing too. So, yeah, really, I mean, just a big cross-section of the faith. And, you know, the monastery, Gower Abbey, celebrates the traditional Latin Mass, the extraordinary form of the Mass, and that's not, you know, especially common in the life of the church. But there were Catholics there, I think, too, with all kinds of different spiritualities, other Catholics who go to the TLM, Catholics who go to the ordinary Mass of their parish, Catholics who were, I saw a married Ukrainian Catholic priest and his family who were there. So just Catholics from all kind of corners of the culture, sort of cultural and liturgical corners of the church as well.
And it also gives you great hope, because we can so easily be sucked into the vortex of, well, the church is falling apart, nobody's going to church, we hear the pew numbers and everything. It's so easy to get caught up in that negativity, but we see that the church, ironically, is alive, looking at the incorruptible, maybe the, you know, what is thought to be the incorruptible body of a foundress of a religious order.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's right. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you go to the March for Life, you know, one of the cool and edifying things in the March for Life is if you sometimes feel like you're alone in the faith, bam, then all of a sudden you're surrounded by, you know, thousands and thousands of people who believe what you do and think it's important. And the same thing with this, or World Youth Day, or one of those experiences. It also reminded me of being at Lourdes, you know, where you have all these people who are there with the mentality of pilgrims in different ways, in different places, different levels of faith and commitment to the faith, but all there looking for something, seeking something. And that's something that I thought was palpable at Gower.
And you saw people of all ages, from children all the way up to senior citizens.
Oh yeah. There were a lot of babies there. I mean, you know, there were a lot of homeschooling families there, which means, you know, there was a ton of babies there, but there were some elderly people there, grandparents who were there with their kids, people who were there with very limited mobility, both elderly people and then younger people who had disabilities with very limited mobility. And the nuns did a very good job of welcoming people who had, you know, various kinds of disabilities. I saw people with physical disabilities and intellectual disabilities who weren't, for various reasons, able to wait in line. And the nuns and the local volunteers did a very good job of making sure that they were welcomed and treated with extraordinary hospitality and sensitivity and respect, and made a place for them to come and see Sister Wilhelmina as well. So Really just a witness of who the church is and the broad cross-section of who the church is and what it means.
We were talking about the faces of in the pictures in the piece that you have about Sister Wilhelmina in your pilgrimage to Gower Abbey at pillarcatholic.com that we'll put on our social media platform, and the look of faith in their faces. I'm curious, J.D., how did your prayer change? How did your prayer life change after seeing Sister Wilhelmina and the power of the faith of these pilgrims in Gower, Kansas?
I mean, certainly I was very glad to be able to pray there. It was a very beautiful experience to go to Mass there. The Mass punctuated by the chant, the plainsong chant of the sisters, which is just extraordinarily beautiful. So it was a gift to be able to pray there. I tried to go, you know, again, I went as a journalist, and so I tried to go as maybe a pilgrim journalist,
right.
Kind of maybe maybe the opposite of sort of gonzo journalism. So I kind of tried to do pilgrim journalism, I guess. But I did try to imbue it with prayer. And actually, you didn't have to try, because the spirituality of the place was such that it was palpable that the life of the sisters is punctuated by the ancient customary prayer of the Divine Office. They gather in the chapel lots of times through the day and night to pray, and you can hear them chanting, and you can see that their lives are animated by prayer. And, of course, that's just encouragement to prayer in itself.
Wow. We're going to put this piece from The Pillar online on all of our social media platforms so you can learn more about Sister Wilhelmina and see this incredible pilgrimage that J.D. Flynn had as the co-founder and editor-in-chief of The Pillar online at pillarcatholic.com. And this is a story, obviously, that we'll continue to follow as the Catholic Church continues its investigation of Sister Wilhelmina out in Gower, Kansas. J.D., thank you so much for an enlightening time.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Again, the great piece at pillarcatholic.com, and we'll put that all on our social media pieces here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.